CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live Bible answer program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. If you have a question on the Bible or the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. That's 1-888-ASK-CSN. Now let's get things started. Here's today's host.
Everyone, this is Pastor Darrell Skinner of Calvary Chapel Pearl Harbor here on To Every Man an Answer with special guest and a host that's on here many times, quite often, is Pastor Jeff Wickwire of Turning Point Church of Fort Worth, Texas. And Jeff, it's great to be on with you. Mike Kessler is not with us today, so it's you and me tag teaming on these great questions that come in every afternoon to Every Man an Answer. And we're looking forward to giving the word of God out, helping people grow in their faith and be blessed. And Jeff, it's great to be with you. Go ahead and share what's going on in your ministry right now.
Well, hey, you know, we're doing what everybody's doing. We're getting past the COVID thing. Good news for us in Texas. Our governor came out and said that as of tomorrow, all COVID restrictions are lifted everywhere, Wow. Everything, restaurants, everything. So we have been, you know, I just want to shout out free indeed. We've been set free. So
hallelujah.
Yeah. So, cause it, you know, it was where you had to, if you went into a restaurant, you know, my wife and I went Sunday to, I'll put in a little plug here, El Phoenix. And when you walk in, the little sign out front says, you got to wear a mask till you get to your table. Then we get to your table and sit down, you can take the mask off. So I said to my wife, I said, Cindy, think about it. COVID only exists 6 feet above the ground. But when you sit down and you're 3 feet above the ground, COVID somehow magically goes away. And so, you know, that kind of irrationality, you know, you just thought, this is nuts. But our good governor, who happens to be a conservative and just a good guy, a Christian, Greg Abbott, said that all the restrictions are lifted tomorrow. So the state of Texas is totally, completely free of all mandates of any kind. So we're skipping and hopping, and I hope that encourages some people to return to church and Amen. Not worry about the, you know, the COVID thing anymore, because, you know, God's work goes on. And so that's we're excited about that. And, you know, Darrell, Sunday we baptized several people in water. It was good to see people getting baptized again and coming back to church at Turning Point in Fort Worth. And so slowly but surely we're recovering and growing back. I don't know what your experience has been, but for us, it's been a gradual sort of a careful return. So anyway, that's the good news.
I will almost move to Texas with that good news. But Hawaii, I'm still here. I'm still here.
Yeah.
But,
suffering for the Lord, right?
I am. Somebody's going to do it. But anyway, I got the sand between my toes and the sunburn. But anyway, so we're sitting about 80 degrees right now, so it's hard to leave. But, you know, that is great news for Texas and Texans and, to hear things open up like that and to try to get life back to normalcy. I know we just received a letter, I think, finally from our schools are going to open up. Now, we've had our private school open since July, which has been very exciting because we just took that step and they allowed us to be open. But the public schools have been closed, and it's just been a bummer for the kids. So yeah, we want us to get back in school, get everybody back to normal, and we're working on in our end, although we don't have that conservative governor like you have. We have a Democratic governor, and they, you know, they still got the heavy lockdowns, but they've got to open this thing up. It's just killed our economy out here also, and so we need to open up, get things going again, and God is in control. Fortunately, meeting as a church, that's been going on for quite some time, and trying to encourage people to come back, you know, take the safety protocols that they feel comfortable with and get back to church. Folks, it's great to be with you out in the airwaves right now and just being able to minister the word of God. We love to hear from you. And if you would like to ask a question or have a comment or need prayer, whatever it might be, whether it be about Bible prophecy, about politics, about the Word of God, where we love to be, right? Just discipling and ministering to your hearts, helping you grow in the faith and fall deeper in love with Jesus. Give us a call at 1-888-ASK-CSN, 1-888-ASK-CSN. We have a couple lines open. And right now, Jeff, what do you say we go to the lines and get our first question in here? It looks like it's going to be Gabriel from, hopefully I got this right, Gabriel or Al from Salt Lake City, Utah. Is that correct, guys? Hopefully I got that right.
I think we're at Gabriel.
Oh, Gabriel. Okay. Oh, it is Gabriel then. Gabriel at Paso Robles go ahead, Gabriel, what you got?
Hi, Pastor.
Gabriel, are you there?
Taking my call. Yes, sir. Hello?
We're here. God bless you. Good to be with you.
God bless you, too. Thank you for taking my call. I'll try to sum it up as short as possible, but I've been married for about 12 years. Wasn't really walking with the Lord when I got married. And I got married to a Jehovah's Witness. And she is fully indoctrinated. She's baptized. And so, long story short, the more I've been seeking the Lord, the harder it has been to accept this fact and live with her. And then COVID hit. So they're doing all their Zoom calls, all their letter writing. They're not going door to door. They're doing that in the home now. And it's just becoming harder and harder to accept. I've told her I don't want that in my household anymore. We are seeking counseling, but I'm just not really seeing any results of it. And so I'm just wondering how you would feel about separation in this case.
Jeff, would you like to tackle this one?
Well, first of all, I would want to know, Gabriel, is she asking for separation or is she content to live with you?
She is fully content to live with me. And she feels like she feels like she has the truth and I'm the one that's in the wrong and that I should pretty much just accept the fact that, you know, we have separate beliefs and just be loving about it, which I am trying to do. But like I said, the more I'm seeking the Lord, the harder it is to see her being led by this false organization. And it's just becoming more and more frustrating for me.
Okay, I understand that. And let me just turn to the scriptures, because Paul did deal with this in 1 Corinthians 7. And Paul says this. He's talking about if a believer marries an unbeliever, big deal. That's why we say all the time and why Paul was so adamant about, listen, if you're a single Christian, don't marry an unbeliever, because if you do, you're going to be unequally yoked and it's going to be it's going to cause a lot of problems. So if you are single out there, I'm going to take advantage of this question to say, look, no matter how much you think you love somebody, no matter how strong the pull is, no matter how great the chemistry is, if you're a believer and the person that you believe you're in love with and you are seriously considering marrying, they are not believers, don't do it. Because if you do, you're going to end up in all kinds of problems down the road. One of the most important things we share with our spouses is our faith, because if you're a believer, your faith is everything. It's everything to you. Jesus is everything to you. And so you've got this gigantic part of your life that you can't share with an unbelieving spouse. They can't identify. They don't understand it. And so it causes all kinds of problems. You go to raise your children. You want to take them to church. They don't. That becomes an issue. So having said all that, 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 12, Paul says, if any brother has a wife who does not believe and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he's willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. The unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. And then he adds this, and this is why I asked you that question, Gabriel, about whether or not she wanted to dwell with you. Because Paul says in verse 15, if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. So if she were saying to you, Gabriel, I've had all this fun I can stand. I want to be married to somebody that's in my religion, the Jehovah's Witnesses. And so see you later. The Bible says you're not bound. You are free to let her go or let him go if you're a woman. You're not bound in such cases. But if they want to dwell with you, Paul makes the case that you are not to leave, but to continue to pray for them, love them. And I know, Gabriel, this may not be the answer your flesh wanted to hear, but you know, let God be true, every man a liar. There comes times in our Christian walk when we need to bow to the clear will of God revealed in the Word of God. And I would encourage the two of you to continue in counseling. And all I can tell you, Gabriel, is, pray for her. Maybe there's some books or something that can give you some ways to approach her about the Jehovah's Witnesses religion, their beliefs. It's not difficult to look at their beliefs and disprove them biblically. I don't know if you've tried that, if you have found any helps to instruct you how to do that. But the Jehovah's Witnesses beliefs regarding Christ, regarding many things, are very totally unbiblical. So maybe she can be reached that way over time. I don't know. But I'm just giving you what the Word of God has to say about it. And Daryl, I'll just defer to you.
Yeah, you know, Gabriel, it's always tough. But you know what? You have to look at, if you're married to a non-believer, you have to look at them not only as your one flesh, so you're to be inseparable, but also you're to look at them as a manner of a mission field and to win them to Christ. And you're sleeping with someone, you're living with someone that is to be one to Christ. And that becomes your heart and your goal. The Bible still says you're to love your wife as Christ loved the church. And the Bible also says in Ephesians that you're to love your wife as you love yourself. And I've never known a woman to keep restraining from a man who is loving her with the love of Jesus. You know, when you produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the meekness, the temperance, the faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, righteousness, goodness, and truth, you know what? She's going to see that in you. She's going to see the power of Christ working in you. And that's what she's going to be drawn to. And she's going to see that it's different than this works religion that she's experiencing right now. She needs to see a love relationship between you and Jesus and between you and her. And as you work at this and you continue to work at this and you bless her and you love her in spite of what she believes, you're going to just do that no matter what, because you know that she's been deceived, and she's been deceived by an organization. She's been deceived by the devil himself, and you're going to try to lead her to Christ. And that with the great love of God and the grace of God and the mercies of God, and she sees that emanating from your heart and your life, even though you have your disagreements, you can win her to Christ. And that would be the goal that I would set for your heart and for your life as God guides you and directs you. And I know that, who knows, maybe this week she'll give up being a Jehovah's Witness and give her heart to Jesus, be born again of the Holy Spirit. But you know what? Don't get frustrated. Don't get angry. Don't be discouraged. God is at work, and he's got her in your life for a purpose, and the purpose is for her to get saved. So, Gabriel, we're going to say a quick prayer for you, and God just bless you mightily and abundantly. Does that help you out, my friend?
Yeah, thank you very much, Pastor.
Okay, bro. Heavenly Father, we pray for Gabriel right now. We lift him before you, just empower him by your Holy Spirit. I know times can be very frustrating in life, but you know, Lord, you said to us, in this world we'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So may the joy of the Lord, the love of Christ, and the goodness of God just be displayed through Gabriel's heart and life for his wife, and that she would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the stronghold of Satan, this lie and deception, we'd be broken. In Jesus' name we pray. And we all said, amen.
Amen.
Hey, Gabriel, stay on the line. We want to send you a book called A Time to Grow, as well as a video called Evolution Versus God, and also another one called God of Wonders. May Allah bless your heart and bless your wife and bless your neighbors, whoever, and you can all grow in the Lord. Okay, my friend?
Thank you very much, pastors.
All right. Bless God you. Bless you. God bless you. Hey, we're going to go to, I believe it's Tim in Charlotte, North Carolina. Tim, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. So.
God bless you, my friend. What you got going on?
Well, actually, I'm living in Arizona now, but that doesn't matter. We kept our phone number.
Okay. Sounds good.
I had a question about the Shriners. You know, they have these really cute kids on TV and helping children and everything. But I understand the Shriners are related to the Masons. Like, to be a Shriner, you have to be a high-level Mason. And there's a lot of some unsavory things there. And I just wonder if you could shed some light on that for me.
Jeff, do you want to take a go at this?
Well, I don't know a lot about Freemasonry. I do know that you're right, that if you're a Shriner, you're a high-level Freemason. And I also know that at the beginning, when you first get into Masonry, it sounds very Christian, comes over very Christian. They say a lot of Christian things. They'll quote Bible verses. But as you go further into Freemasonry, and I'm assuming all the way up into being a Shriner, you are asked to make certain vows and covenants and promises that my understanding from people that have gotten into Masonry is that I'm just going to go ahead and say it. It's not only unbiblical, but it's can border on the demonic. It can border on some really dark occultic stuff. So that's what I know about it. Now, I have talked to people that were thrilled about getting into Masonry at first, but then came and said, you know, the more they're asking of me and requiring of me for me to get the varying degrees and move further into it, as a Christian, the more uncomfortable with it I am, because your fidelity and your covenant is with them, not with Christ, but you're all about being a Mason. And all the promises you make are to keep fidelity with them, to keep secrets and to be loyal to the Masons. So that alone would cause me as a believer to avoid it. And I think that I'm very safe in saying if you're a sold out Christian, you have no business going into Masonry because of what they're going to require from you. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. You're going to love one, hate the other, hate one and love the other. But God did not wire us to be committed to two gods. You can't do it. And Masonry does require that. So that's why I would encourage you, Tim, if you're looking at doing it or if you know somebody that is, if you're a sold out Christian, I would avoid it and walk away. Daryl?
Yeah, you know, what we see also, Tim, is this, that the Shriners Hospital is kind of what you're poking around at here, and your hearts are really, your heartstrings really pulled when it comes to these precious children and the tough situations that they're in, battling cancer and so forth. And I think if possible, your donation would go towards that if you feel led to do that. If it stays within the hospital research, that's fine. But if it goes into the Shriners organization, that's a whole nother thing. And I don't have an answer for that, to be honest with you. You also have commercials with the St. Jude's Hospital and the kids. And your heart just breaks for them. And you just, you want to see them get healed to the best you can. One thing that we do discover, though, is as Jeff just shared with us about the Shriners, it is adjacent into the Freemasonry, and their belief system as they get deeper into it is occultic, and there is an organization called Ex-Masons for Jesus, and you can get great information on that website, Ex-Masons for Jesus, and they'll give you a lot of good stuff there to help you understand who they are, what they believe, and how to come out of that organization. A lot of times, as Jeff shared also, is in the introductory relationship of these folks, it's like a rotary club almost, just a community club to help the community. But then you get deeper into it, there's occultic oaths and so forth. They don't believe in just the one God of the Bible, but all gods, all religions lead to the same God, which is wrong. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So there's many beliefs that are contrary of the Masons, contrary to sound biblical doctrine. So we always encourage people not to be a part of an organization like this because it's not of the Lord as a Christian. And so you need to, again, we get back to that scripture in 1 Corinthians 7, not to be unequally yoked with an organization that way. But hopefully that's going to give you some benefit and some help in regards to this organization. Can we help you with anything else?
Well, I appreciate your sharing there. I've not been attracted to them at all, but
right.
I knew there was some fishing going on there in when I interact with people, if the subject ever comes up, you know, it'd be nice to know a little bit more than I knew about them there. So, I really appreciate it there. And something I was thinking too, with all the everything that's going on in the world now, is I'm the sort of person that does not like conflict. I tend to avoid it and with people, but I can see maybe along this time, I'm going to be needing courage. And do you know any really good verses about acquiring courage?
Well, I would read through the book of Philippians. That's a good one. It's full of joy. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My God will meet all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus and so forth. Jeff, what do you got?
Well, my favorite is be strong and of a good courage.
Joshua.
That's what God told Joshua that four different times in one chapter. And, you know, be strong and of a good courage. And where do you get that courage? Because the Lord your God is with you. And so, you know, I love that verse. I've quoted it to myself a million times. It's been a sort of an anchor verse for me at different junctures in my life. And I would encourage you to just think about that one. God told him, I'm going to do this for you, Joshua. This is what I'm going to do, but it's going to take you being courageous. So be strong and of a good courage, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, God bless you, my friend. And stay on the line. We'll get you these wonderful gifts, Time to Grow, Evolution versus God, God of Wonders videos, and you'll be super blessed. All right? God bless.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate all you're doing.
You're welcome. Let's go to, I believe it's EMC of Oklahoma, I think a question on Seventh-day Adventism. Are you there, EMC?
Yes. Blessings. Pastor, my question is as follows. I had a study a couple of days ago, which was this last Saturday, with these people, and it was obvious that they were Seventh-day Adventists. My question is this, not question, but in a way, I would like for you guys to help me with this. It seems like they don't, they have a different belief as Pentecostal people. I'm a Pentecostal, I'm a born again person, and I have been saved by the grace of God. And the thing is this, that they don't believe in the rapture. Are you there?
No, I don't. Yes, we're here. Jeff, do you want to tackle that on the rapture and some of the beliefs of Seventh-day Adventism?
I don't know where they stand on the rapture. That's something I'll go check on that because I'm curious myself. But their whole thing is that Saturday is the Sabbath, and they didn't even begin until the 1800s. They were started in the 1800s, and they're, you know, the hinge upon which they're religion swings is the Sabbath being on Saturday. Of course, we don't believe that. As a matter of fact, I think that God's wisdom is that you have one day of rest a week. I think that is just the wisdom of God for your body, for your mind. But I don't think it matters what day it is. And the New Testament is very, very clear that Jesus is our rest, and that the Sabbath of the Old Testament was just a type and a shadow of something that was pointing to the New Testament. But the book of Hebrews says that Jesus has now become our Sabbath. So essentially every single day of every month of every year is a day of rest, in that Jesus has forgiven us for our sins. We've been washed in his blood. We've been born again. And we have peace in his spirit and through his spirit. And so every day is essentially a day of rest. He is our Sabbath. Now, having said that, I do believe that, as I've already stated, all of us do need a day of rest. Mine is Monday because my work day is Sunday. My biggest day is Sunday. So I try my best to take a day off on Monday because I do believe it's good for your body, good for your mind. And if you don't rest, you know, it's like Jesus said, come apart to a desert place and rest for a while. And I like to say, come apart before you come apart. We all need a day of rest. And so even Jesus, after a heavy day of ministry for the disciples and himself, he said, guys, come apart to a desert place. In other words, get out of all the action, get out of all the stress, get away from the people, and let's rest in a desert place. Let's re-energize and rest our minds and rest our bodies. But I don't think it matters what day it is. And that's where I really depart from the Seventh-day Adventist. The one thing they preach is one thing I just don't believe. The New Testament is very clear that Jesus is our rest, and we should not be hung up about any particular day. Daryl?
Excuse me. Yeah, you know, when we look at Seventh-day Adventism, when they talk about rest, what we've realized as Christians, we've come into that rest 365 days a year through our Lord Jesus Christ. We worship God 365 days a year. It's not just one particular day. I remember talking to Seventh-day Adventists and them sharing with me, oh, you worship on Sunday. Oh, you have to worship on Saturday, because if you worship on Sunday, you're part of the harlot church. Well, it sounds like we're part of ready for a break, so we're going to take a break right now, and we'll be back right after the break.
Four hours a day, CSN is your wireless seminary. Day in, day out, we'll bring you the best in today's praise and worship music, alongside the best biblical teaching available from a variety of teachers across the nation. Each day, you'll hear the Bible explained in an easy-to-understand presentation. CSN, spreading the gospel across the nation and around the world. Join us anytime right here on the Christian Satellite Network.
CSN International is listener-supported radio. Have you ever wondered where to send a donation to support this radio ministry? Our address is CSN International, Post Office Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. Help get the gospel out across the country. Again, our address is CSN International, Post Office Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. CSN, bringing you solid Christian radio. That's listener supported.
CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network, is broadcast on nearly 400 stations across the nation, including over 20 stations in Washington alone. You can listen in Asotin, Enumclaw, Mount Vernon, Moses Lake, Port Angeles, and many more stations throughout Washington and the nation. For the station nearest you, log on to csnradio.com. CSN International, where God's word is heard.
CSN International, bringing you exciting new music from around the world. So whether it's youth praise and worship or the latest congregational songs, you'll find it on CSN International.
Pastor of Turning Point in Fort Worth, Texas, and we're on the air answering your questions on To Every Man an Answer, and we've had some great questions so far during this program. Right now we have MC on the line, and we're answering his question about Seventh-day Adventism, and so we want to pick up about their beliefs and so forth. And one thing that I've discovered, MC, is that when we look at Seventh-day Adventism, I was told by the folks that because we worship on Sunday, we're part of the harlot church of the book of Revelation. Well, you know what? I told them we worship God not only on Sunday, we gather together to get into the word of God and grow in the faith, but also we worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ 365 days a year. Our salvation is not determined upon the day we worship, which is what the Seventh-day Adventists believe. They're very legalistic. It would be good for them to all study the book of Galatians, which sets you free from the law and brings you into the grace and the mercies of God. You know, when it comes to salvation, real quickly, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he has made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. If anyone comes to you and says, you're going to be saved because you have to worship on Saturday or join our organization, they have just denigrated the blood atonement of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the only way for us to be saved is through the blood, holy blood atonement of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where salvation is found. He died for our sins on the cross. He shed his blood for us. He has purchased us with a price, and that was with his blood. He is our redeemer. And we must realize that if anyone says, join our organization, you got to get baptized in our organization, you have to say this certain prayer according to our organization, or you got to worship on Saturdays, that is bogus. It's not right. It's wrong. It's a false teaching, and you don't want anything to do with it. So I share with the Seventh-day Adventists, who many of their founders actually believe that Jesus was the Archangel Michael, by the way. Ellen G. White, who was the original founder and writer of many of their doctrines and teachings, which she was a tremendous false prophet. And I, for the life of me, I don't know why people want to follow Seventh-day Adventism. I would just get to the Bible and get rid of their teachings and just go straight to the Word of God. Learn sound biblical doctrine from the Bible, learn the Gospels, learn the book of Acts, learn the epistles, and just get into God's word and leave these teachings aside, because it is involved in legalism, and God has saved us by his mercies and his grace. Jeff, anything else you'd like to add to this?
Yeah, you'll notice that with any cult, there's always an emphasis on something other than Jesus.
Amen.
And I'm going to step out on a limb here and say, even Calvinism. Now, I'm not saying all of Calvinism is wrong, but I'm not a Calvinist, never could be. But when you talk to somebody who is a Calvinist, you walk away going, they're all about Calvinism. I didn't hear anything about Jesus, really. It's just, do you have your Calvinism down? We have the correct belief system. So everything becomes about their belief system. Cults always emphasize one particular thing, something that is not a Jesus emphasis. And I really believe that healthy preaching, healthy teaching, and a healthy biblical belief system is always going to begin and end with Jesus Christ. You come to the Seventh-day Adventist, it's all about the Sabbath on Saturday. Mm-hmm. When you talk to them, that's what you walk away with. You don't walk away with, you know, the gospel. You don't want to walk away with Jesus Christ, or having heard Jesus lifted up. You just had this thing about worshiping on Saturday pounded into your head. And again, any emphasis other than Christ, I believe that belief system is lacking, if not totally suspect. Daryl?
Yeah, there's a website too. I believe it's called Ex Adventist for Jesus or for Christ. So I remember Ex Adventist. Check it out online, and hopefully that'll help you to find out what they believe and how those that were involved in the organization came out of the organization through the Word of God, and how they're now reaching out to others so they can come out of that organization also. MC, this is helping out, my friend?
Yes, thank you very much.
All right, you go strong, and we'll send you out some stuff if you stay on the line. A Time to Grow by Pastor Mike Kessler, Evolution versus God video, God of Wonders video, and I know that you're going to be blessed, and spread the word, spread the word. Hey, we're going to go to, where are we going to go to next? Frank, I believe. Is it Frank in Marina, California?
Yes.
How you doing, yeah, my friend? What's going on?
Okay, brother. Well, I need your brother's prayer, because I went, if you could pray for me, the 8th of this month, I'm going to have the CAT scan and for the prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. And the Lord has told me that he was going to heal me. And I've had this prostate cancer for, 6 years or so. But it has never gone anywhere. I'm not sick or anything. I refuse to take radiation or any of those treatments because the Lord told me I didn't have to. But now the doctor, I also had a blood test for my kidneys. So the doctor won't talk to me till the 18th of this month. My appointment is the 8th. It was Monday at 9:15. I have to go in there and take a. So he wants to check my prostate is what he wants to do. So I need your brother's prayer if you could pray for me.
Jeff, why don't you go ahead?
Yes, Lord, we just give Frank to you, and I know it's got to be a scary thing, and yet, Lord, nothing surprises you. You've got everything in your hands. And Lord, we just join together in prayer for Frank, that you'll give him peace, that you will comfort him as only the Holy Spirit can, give him peace that passes understanding. And Lord, we do pray for a good report. We pray that you will intervene in his situation. And when the report comes back, that Lord, is an encouraging, promising report. And we just commit this to you, and we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
Well, you've got a lot of people out there praying for you right now, and I know that God's going to be with you. He'll give you wisdom and knowledge and understanding in regards to your situation, because I can tell you love the Lord and you want to seek him with all your heart. So maybe down the road you can give us a call, give us an update, what's going on, and we'll continue to pray for you. And if you stay on the line, we'll get you that those tidbits of Time to Grow, God of Wonders video, and Evolution versus God, and invite your family and friends over and share it with them. It'll be a great blessing. So let's go to Al in Salt Lake City, Utah. What you got going on, Al?
Hey, how are you, brothers? How are you? I had a question, and it was in regards to baptism. So if we're regular Bible believers, all of us here, I'm pretty sure. We don't add anything to the book or take anything from the Bible that isn't in the Bible. And so if other religions are adding things, say if you were baptized by another Christian church that professed Christ as their Lord and Savior, but they add other things into it, a lot of ritualistic type things, like you guys were talking about the Seventh-day Adventist with that guy, and then some other things were being talked about with other churches. If they get baptized under those churches and their belief system, is it voided because of how they're teaching and how they're believing when they perform a baptism?
Jeff, do you want to go at this?
Yeah, I think it would all depend, Al, on what you knew and understood about water baptism. If you understood that water baptism, it is a demonstration of our obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, who commanded every believer to be baptized, and that it is a symbol, we are identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When I baptize somebody, I say buried with him by baptism into his death and raised to walk in the newness of life. And that's what it is. It's a symbol where we are identifying with our Lord Jesus Christ, who died, was buried, and then resurrected on the third day that we're about to celebrate in a few weeks in a great way at Easter time. And I think it's also water baptism is it's a witness, it's a testimony to the world, to our friends, to those that have known us, that we have chosen to follow Jesus Christ. Water baptism, you know, when we baptize in our church at Turning Point in Fort Worth, we have it up on three big screens, and we have a camera that is aimed at the baptistry, and it shoots the baptism up on those three big screens so that everybody is seeing this huge image of you going under and coming back up. And we do that because you're basically saying, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. And so if you understood that that's what water baptism was, I would not be inclined to redo it because you understood it. But when we see things like infant baptism or when a little kid is baptized and they don't understand it, they don't know what they're doing. Does mom and dad have got them in there and, you know, everybody's oohing and aahing and it's a great moment. But as they grow older and you say to them, well, what did that water baptism mean? Unless they have been taught, they don't know. Now, somebody like that, I would say do it again because now you understand it. And so if you understood it, Al, I wouldn't redo it. But if you didn't understand it, I would redo it. I don't think the teachings of the people around you, if they're a little bit aberrant, if they're kind of out there, but you were baptized in good faith, I don't think that affects it. Now, maybe Daryl disagrees with me, but as long as you, the one baptized, understood it, then I think God honored it. Daryl?
Yeah, no disagreement whatsoever. Baptism is a public testimony of the inward new life that you've received from Christ. Your sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, and now you've been resurrected in the newness of life. You're born again of the Holy Spirit. That means you're born again from heaven. And so when you go under the water, your old sin nature is now buried. You've come up in a new life, and now you're going to walk in that new born-again, spirit-filled life, and it's so exciting. But it's never a means of salvation. It's important to realize this. Salvation comes by faith. As Paul says in Romans chapter 10, he says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made to salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. And I love this. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And now, once we make that confession of faith, we come to faith in Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please save my soul. I see that you are the Savior of the world. You're the Son of God, God incarnate. You died for me and my sins, and you rose from the grave. You ascended to heaven. I believe. Now you're saved. And then what should I do? Well, the Bible says, Jesus said, go get baptized as a public testimony of what just took place in your heart and your whole life. And so we want to do that. So we testify before family and friends and other congregants within the church. We take people out to the North Shore here of Hawaii, of this Oahu, and we'll get them baptized out there. Sometimes the waves can be a little rough, and we've only lost about 3 people in the baptism we've done for 20 years. No, just kidding. I always tell them, well, we have a church in Kauai that'll pick them up. But anyway, the current strong. But it's always a good time, and what a great celebration it is. As they've come to faith in Christ, they're born again of the Holy Spirit. Now they're going to share their testimony by being water baptized. And that's what we see all through the Bible. Baptism doesn't save us. Jesus saves us. That's what it's all about. Does that help you out, my friend?
Yeah, that does. I mean, I just was kind of, you know, like, you know, I understand it and I understand it more as I became aware of other teachings being taught to me that weren't exactly coming from the Bible. You know what I mean? That had other things add on to it to sort of perfect what was being said in the Bible to elevate it more when it didn't need, it was already elevated. It didn't need to be elevated any more than it is. You know what I mean? And so I'm not going to name names, but I was part of an organization that, you know, they had their way of believing, and so I broke off from it because it just got too ritualistic, you know, and too much doctrine. You know what I mean? On top of doctrine that wasn't really necessary to add on to it to say, well, this is the witness and it makes it stronger. And it's like, no, it's not the witness. That's not it. You know?
Yeah.
You know, so once you start reading for yourself, and that's why I listen to somebody evangelist at night, because sometimes if you're not understanding what's going on with what you're reading, it's, sometimes it's good to listen to what they say, because they'll break it down, you know, and say, well, and then I'll go, oh, that's what that means. You know, it's
Al, as we look to the Word of God, all we have to do is open it up and read it, especially when we're dealing with the New Testament theology. You read about in the four Gospels, okay, you see Jesus being baptized there in Matthew chapter 3, and he's baptized, and it's a beautiful illustration for us to follow. You know, what I love about it, it says the heavens were opened, and the Spirit of God came upon Jesus, and of course, then he starts his public ministry. And for us, you know, the heavens have been opened to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we can pray to our Heavenly Father. He's there to answer our prayers. And we're going to be taken to heaven by our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we get water baptized, following the example of our Lord, it's not a means of salvation, but we all start our, if you will, our public ministry. You know, we get saved by faith, that sinner's prayer and coming to faith in him. And then you want to do what he says. He says, get water baptized. And that's good. And we just start sharing our faith. I mean, to be witnesses of Christ is to share your faith. Acts 1:8 says he'll endow you with power from on high, and you're going to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So to know that someone is born again of the Holy Spirit is that they will begin to share their faith in Christ with others as they begin to walk with the Lord. So it's exciting to see happen. And unfortunately, there's some cults out there that say you got to get baptized in their organization, and then you can truly be saved according to the organization, but that's not true. So, hey, stay on the line there, Al, and we're going to send you a Time to Grow, Evolution versus God, and God of Wonders video, and we're going to bless your heart with those things from To Every Man an Answer, and you're going to really enjoy them. So, hey, let's go to our next caller now, and let's go to, looks like it's Andrew, Roswell, New Mexico. Andrew, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
How can we help you out today?
Yes, sir. So, kind of got a sophisticated situation. It's very similar to actually the last question. Mine is pertaining to Lutheranism. I have two children, and I'm divorced. And my eldest, my 10-year-old, she decided she wanted to get baptized. And now my kids are going to a Lutheran church. I was raised Pentecostal, evangelical, and so their mother was raised Presbyterian. Excuse me. And since our split, she's leaned more towards Catholicism. And so my question isn't necessarily about salvation. I know that Lutherans are Christians, and I, you know, believe that the way they baptized is also, you know, the correct way. But my question is pertaining more to the dogma that the Lutherans have, and if it's going to affect her later in life, having that association with the Lutheran church. From what I know, Lutherans are very similar, or I should say more similar to Catholicism than we are. In a legalistic type of view, the dogma that is attached to it, if it's going to affect her later in life, and if there's any danger in that.
And Jeff, go right ahead.
I'm not aware of Lutherans being associated with Catholicism and any of the really aberrant beliefs that the Catholics have, like, in other words, praying to Mary, the rosary, you know, the wafer actually being the body of Christ, and the cup being the blood of Christ. I'm not aware of Lutherans holding to those things. I do know that they are cessationists. That is, they don't believe that the gifts of the Spirit, especially the sign gifts, are real for today. At the same token, they're not Calvinists. They do believe that you are saved by grace through faith alone, but they do not believe that some are decreed by God to be lost and some are decreed to be saved. So they don't go into Calvinism that way. So I guess I would need to know, Andrew, what dogma you're talking about.
No, it's more, and please understand, I'm not trying to be I guess you could say, it's how Catholics, in a general essence, have that attitude that I can live my sinful life, but then go back to the priest and just confess my sins, and then just continue on to live my life. And like I said, I'm not trying to be hypocritical, because I know that there's people in our faith who do the same thing, who are lukewarm. But it's just that mentality that I think I'm afraid of.
Yeah, so I call that greasy grace, sloppy agape, meaning now that I'm covered by grace, I can go do anything because grace has covered me. So as long as I've been a minister, I've called that greasy grace. And of course, it's not true. As a matter of fact, Paul spoke against that. That no, now that you're covered by grace, doesn't give you a license to go do whatever you want. Now, I will say that Lutherans are huge on sanctification. The genuine Lutherans that I know are really big on sanctification. That is, the sanctification of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit sanctifying you, body, soul, and spirit, separation from the world, separation unto Christ. So I don't know if you've kind of been around a strain of Lutheranism that is more a liberal type strain, and that may be. But I will let you know, Andrew, that the Lutherans I know and the ones that I have listened to, they're huge on the Word of God, sola scriptura. You know, it's all the Bible only, scripture only, as Lutheran himself taught. And like I said, they're huge on sanctification and, you know, not living a sinful lifestyle and so on and so forth. So it could be you've been exposed to a liberal strain. I don't know if that's the kind of church that your children are going to. I don't know the answer to that, but I'm just telling you my experience that the Lutherans I've known have been very committed Christians, you know, very, you know, that we love God, love Christ. They're big on prayer and a little, they're, you know, some of them tend to be pretty legalistic, but on the whole, you know, good folks and Christians that I would sit down with any day and fellowship with. So maybe, Daryl, you've got a different experience, but that's mine.
You know, I've come across some that are solid in the Word of God. I've come across others that are very liberal in their belief system. One thing that Lutherans do, which they participate the same way as the Roman Catholic Church, is have infant baptism. More liberal Lutheran churches, which they're out there, they believe in homosexual marriages and so forth. This is unbiblical. And so it's important to kind of define what type of a Lutheran church your kids might be going to, and to find out what exactly are the beliefs. Is this a liberal Lutheran church? Is it a more traditional, if you will, Lutheran church that's more maintaining the scriptures? And I guess the only way to find out is you might just call them up and say, hey, what are your beliefs and so forth, and get to know who they are and what's going on since your kids are going there, and do a little bit of digging. I think that's a healthy thing to do so you can put your mind at ease. Or you can maybe share with your wife, say, hey, maybe we should find another church for the kids and and see what she would say. You know, one thing, as we shared with an earlier caller about marriage and so forth, keep praying and keep being a witness of Christ to your wife and to the kids, of course, and loving them and blessing them and helping them, and that they would see the true born-again Christian life, the love of God coming out of your heart and your life. And I tell you what, you never know what God's going to do as we are just do a great work in his name. So does that help you out, my friend?
Yes, sir, absolutely. I would ask you, though, would you guys allow your children to be baptized in a Lutheran church?
Well, I would have to decide on whether do my kids understand salvation if they're going to be water baptized? Because really, the baptism should be unto the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And so I don't know what that particular church preaches or teaches. So I can't really say whether or not they're truly part of the body of Christ or they're an apostate in their teachings. So that's a hard hard for us to determine over the air here, since we don't know the pastor there and what they believe as what part of the organization. Because there's splinter groups of the Lutheran Church, like the Methodist Church. There's splinter groups that are liberal. There's others that are very traditional and maintain fundamental. They maintain the Word of God. So it's hard. It's hard for us to say, and that's where I would say you do your digging and find out exactly what is it they believe and where are the kids going to get baptized and how you can minister to their hearts to help them grow in their faith.
Yeah, I would have to say real quickly, Andrew, that if I learned that it was a liberal church, I would not want them baptized there, because they're gonna have some roots there. It's gonna be a place they remember. And it's a place where they're going to be influenced. And so if they do turn out to be liberal and not really adhering to scripture much, then yeah, I would have a problem with that.
Thank you, guys.
All righty, my friend. Hey, we've got to take a break. You can hear the music going on right now. And folks, if you're out there listening, just hang in there. We're going to be back in just a few moments. Got some great sponsors going on here, and they're going to share with you some great things. So pay attention and go for God.
Have you always wanted to finish your degree, but you could never afford it or find the time? Well, here's some great news. Calvary Chapel University is offering students and ministry leaders a $12,000 scholarship. With this unique scholarship, you have a realistic way to graduate debt-free. Calvary Chapel University is the most affordable, fully accredited Christian online university in the United States, and it's 100% online, so you can study wherever and whenever you want. Calvary Chapel University offers bachelor's and master's degrees in biblical counseling, Christian education, and several other fields. And with solid teachers like Skip Heitzig and David Guzik involved, you can be sure you're getting a quality education. This scholarship is available for a limited time, so apply now. Find out more at calvarychapeluniversity.com. That's calvarychapeluniversity.com. Apply today.
If you enjoy listening to CSN on your radio, then log online to csnradio.com. See a side of CSN you might have been missing. You can listen anywhere in the world with an internet connection. Find program schedules and contact information for your favorite teachers. You can listen to archived episodes of To Every Man an Answer, leave a praise report, and print off the network's complete station list. This and much more is available at csnradio.com.
The next time you upgrade your car truck, consider donating your existing vehicle to CSN. You may be eligible for a tax deduction. Plus, your donation helps support CSN Radio. To learn more, give us a call at 1-800-357-4226 or go online to csnradio.com and click on the car donation button for more details.
This is the Christian Satellite Network, broadcasting on almost 400 stations throughout the U.S., including multiple stations in Arizona alone. You can listen in great Arizona cities like Bullhead City, Phoenix, Yuma, Prescott, Cottonwood, and many more stations throughout Arizona and across the nation. The full station list is at csnradio.com. CSN International, where God's Word is heard.
This is KAWZ Twin Falls, the Christian Satellite Network.
This is Pastor Gerald Skinner of Calvary Chapel Pearl Harbor on To Every Man an Answer with Pastor Jeff Wickwire of Turning Point Church down in Fort Worth, Texas. And Jeff, we've had some great questions coming in thus far, and hopefully we've been tackling them pretty well. And Good stuff. I just want to say the number once again. That's 1-888-ASK-CSN, 1-888-ASK-CSN. Any question you have about God, about the Bible, about what's going on in our world, about prophecy, politics, we'll do our best to cover it all. So right now, we're going to head on over to Ricky in Las Vegas, Nevada. Ricky, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing great, thank you. How can we help you out?
Well, I was actually calling in regard to the first caller this afternoon. I believe his name is Gabriel in Salt Lake City. And yes. The reason I'm calling is I just wanted to be an encouragement to him because I was in the exact same position, not walking with the Lord, though I was saved. Ended up marrying a woman who was raised as a Jehovah's Witness, and today she is saved. And we're both walking with the Lord closely. And I just wanted to share quickly something that did not work and something that was effective. And I'm sure he's done his research, and he's maybe familiar with the failed prophecies of the Watchtower Society. Well, it was not effective when I shared that with her. Perhaps it was my approach. So I'm not saying not to do that, but certainly anything that we do needs to be done in love. I was a young man and a young Christian at the time, so probably didn't have the best approach there. New World Translation errors, things like that. But I'll tell you what was effective, because she eventually got to a point where she didn't want to have this discussion anymore, but she was open to sharing scriptures. And so I started sharing. I found a passage in Psalm 102, verses 25 through 27, which is the exact same passage in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. And what I started doing was I would share those verses from the New World Translation, which I know is a terrible translation, but I knew that that's what she would be open to reading. But what I did was I didn't include the references, which is okay, because references are not inspired anyway, but I would share those passages, and I would alternate back and forth. And the reason I did this is because clearly, in even in the New World Translation, it makes it clear in Psalm 102, verses 25 through 27, that is speaking of Jehovah. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, is clearly speaking of Jesus. Okay, and verse 8 makes that absolutely clear. So what I did by alternating these is, every other day, I'd switch back and forth, and she would read these. And then after a couple of weeks, I asked her if she noticed something about the verses that I was sending. And she said, yeah, you keep sending the same thing. And it was I was allowing the Holy Spirit to lead, but allowing her to see for herself that Jesus is Jehovah and Jehovah is Jesus. And I think that was that really made strides. And it took a little, some time. We were married in 2004. She got saved in 2016. But I just want to encourage Gabriel, it's, you just stick with it, and you need to just, trust God, because I'll tell you, I know exactly how frustrating and discouraging it can be. You're just wondering, how in the world does she not see this? It's spiritual warfare, brother. You just got to keep that in mind. Amen. So I hope that's a help.
Hey, Ricky, one more time, give those scripture references for those that are maybe dealing with the same situation as Gabriel and yourself, having a spouse that's a Jehovah's Witness. So lay it on us one more time.
It was Psalm 102, verses 25 through 27, and Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 through 12.
All right, let me just real quickly read that. That's Psalm 102, verses 25 to 27. It says, "Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. They will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years have no end." Is that correct?
Yes, it is. And remember, according to the New World Translation, makes it very clear that that is speaking of Jehovah. And then the other one was in Hebrews chapter 1, if you want to go ahead and read that.
Do you have that, Jeff? Obvious.
What were the verses in Hebrews 1?
Hebrews 1, 10 to 12, was it?
Yes.
Yes, okay, here we go. "And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will hold them up and they will be changed, but you are the same and your years will not fail. And that's calling him Lord. It's referencing Jesus.
Exactly.
Because the chapter makes that clear.
Look back at verse 8. Yeah, looking back at verse 8 of Hebrews 1, you know, under the sun he saith. So it's clearly speaking of Jesus. So, again, I just want to be a help and a blessing however I can to Gabriel out there in Salt Lake City.
Hey,
you know,
Ricky.
I just want great Ricky, job. I could give you a hand.
Amen.
That was a great call.
That was, and you know what a great testimony how the word of God does not come back void, right? It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Wow. It's living and powerful. You took the Old Testament, turned it to the New Testament, put the two together, delivered the word of God. You did a marvelous job, and I bet you there's a lot of people out there. And just one last time for the folks out there, Psalm 102, verses 25 to 27, and Hebrews 1, 10 through 12. Right, Ricky?
Yes, and make sure you keep it all in context so that you know they can see that, you know, speaking of Jehovah in Psalm 102 and Jesus in Hebrews 1.
The one in Hebrews, it might even be better to back up to verse 8 so that they can't say, well, it just says Lord, but that could be Jehovah. So you could back it up to verse 8 and then it's crystal clear.
Yeah, it says, but to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. And this says, you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with oil of gladness more than your companions and you, Lord. Then it goes into verses 10 through 12. So, start with verse 8. That pops Jesus into the picture here, and it's a cool thing. So, hey, Ricky, great job, my friend. Stay on the line, and we want to send you A Time to Grow by Pastor Mike, as well as Evolution versus God. I was going to say Elevation versus God, but that was an elevating call. Evolution versus God, and the video God of Wonders. And you keep up the great work, man. And, you know, that's our heart's desire. If anybody out there listening that's a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon or Seventh-day Adventist, hey, we're trying to lead you to the truth that is found in God's Word. Jesus said in John 17:17, Father, sanctify them with your truth. Your word is truth. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. It is the word of God that we must trust, not these alternative writings by magazines of called Watchtower or the Book of Mormon or the Pearl of Great Price or the Volume of Discourses or the writings of Ellen G. White for Seventh-day Adventists and all this stuff. You'll find that so many times they got to have all these auxiliary books to formulate their teachings to lead you what they're doing, leading you away from the word of God. You don't need those other books. You just need one book. It's called the Bible. And from Genesis to Revelation, it believes Jesus Christ. It has sound doctrine all the way through, and your life will be totally blessed as you get into the Word. So great job. Great call, Ricky. We deeply appreciate it, and I hope Gabriel's still out there listening, and I hope he's very blessed with that. Hey, let's go to our next caller is Christy in Cornville, Arizona. Christy, how you doing?
Hello. I love to listen to you all the time. I love the Word. The Word has set me free, and I know that faith comes by hearing of the Word. I know that the lamp unto my feet is going to guide my path, and Jesus is the truth. And I don't want to be deceived by anything. And that's why I see in Daniel chapter 7:25, it says they think to change the law and the time. I want to keep the law as Jesus kept it. Jesus walked on the truth. And now I think I lost power. Are you there?
No, we're here with you, Christy. What's your question?
Oh, I've been on the phone a long time waiting. And I've gone to a lot of churches in the last 20 years. I started out Pentecostal, and I went to a lot of churches. But right now, I'm really confused because I've read a lot of the Bible where even the end of Ecclesiastes, Solomon says, the conclusion of the matter is to keep the commandments. Now, the Ten Commandments were written with God's finger, and I don't know which ones to keep and which ones not to keep. because...
Well, let's help you out, Christy. I'm going to hand it over to Jeff. I think we're getting the essence of what you're calling in regards to what commandments to keep and what not to keep there. Jeff, what do you say?
Well, let's remember that Ecclesiastes is written by Solomon, who was under Mosaic law. So in his day, that's what they were all about, doing their best to keep the commandments. Of course, the commandments were given to let us know we could not keep them. Paul tells us in Galatians that they acted like a schoolmaster or like a tutor that actually showed us our tremendous need for a savior and a redeemer, because we can't keep the commandments. We could not do it. And they magnified our sin, personified our sin, put our sin under the microscope of God's word, so that our sin became exceedingly sinful. So whereas Solomon said, you know, the end of life or the sum total of life is to keep the commandments, that was right in his day. But now in the new covenant, the better statement would be the sum total of life is to be sure that you get right with Christ, for he lived out the commandments for us so that his righteousness is imputed to us the moment that we come to him. And the minute we're saved, it's an amazing thing. It always blows me away when I think about it. God looks at us and says, justified. The minute we say, Jesus, forgive me, and we genuinely repent, God says, justified. And I like to say, just as if you never did it, meaning just as if you never sinned. I've just imputed to you the life and the righteousness of Christ. So Jesus took our sin upon him, and he bequeathed to us, imputed to us his righteousness. So what I would say, Christy, is what Solomon said in his time was true, but in our time it would be repent and look up and turn to Christ, and you'll be forgiven, and it'll be as if you never did sin in the eyes of God. Daryl?
Yeah, you know, Jesus gave us, we had 10 in the Old Testament, we've got down to 2 in the New Testament, which is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know, when you become born again of the Holy Spirit, I know when I first got saved, because I was a wild heathen, I didn't exactly know what it was to be a Christian. I was like, what am I supposed to look like? What am I supposed to act like? What am I supposed to talk like? I have no idea. I was kind of fearful, to be honest with you. And then as you begin to grow in the Word of God and you find out those two commandments, all of a sudden your love for Jesus begins to override your love for sin. It just begins to dissolve in your heart. Not that we're sinless by any means, it's still there, but you're not a slave to sin any longer. You want to love God, you want to grow in God's Word, and you want to be blessed of the Lord, and you start learning to repent of such sins as fornication, sex outside of marriage, if it's adultery or it's homosexuality or it's being a transgender or it's lying, cheating, stealing, it's having uncontrolled anger, it's drunkenness, it's drug addictions. You realize the Spirit of God begins to teach you through the Word of God that these are not lifestyles you want to continue to follow, because they're going to ultimately destroy you, destroy your marriage, destroy your family, destroy your community. And now you want to live a good, clean life for me. Okay. And as Jeff said, that's called repentance. You repent, you turn from sinful ways to start turning to Christ ways, and you allow him to start making you into his image. And it's the best image. And it's the great, great work of God. So those are the two commandments you really need to be concerned about, Christy, is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Just follow the teachings of our Lord Jesus in the Gospels. Get into the book of Acts. See the apostles and the great work that God did through them. Then you start studying the epistles, and you get instructions what needs to be going on in the church and so forth. And as you do, you're going to be a very blessed person. But the law cannot save. The law condemns. It was a schoolmaster, a tutor, that lead us to Christ, who fulfilled the law, and he's the only perfect and holy one. And then all of a sudden, he teaches us how to live for God. And that's a beautiful thing. That's why we're given the Holy Spirit. We're given the Holy Word of God. Holiness means we get separated from sin. And you look at the word holiness, it always leads to happiness. And some people think of holiness as, oh, you got to have a grim look on your face, you know, put some kind of orange suit on or something. No. It leads to happiness. It's joyful to be living for the Lord. And yes, we slip up. There's no doubt about it. But he's there to love us and forgive us as we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So, Christy, God bless you. We're going to send you a Time to Grow from Pastor Mike Kessler, and also Evolution versus God video, a God of Wonders video. And we know that you can be very, very blessed with that, and share it with family and friends, please. Let's go to our next caller. Let's go to, it looks like it's going to be Tim. Is it Tim, I believe? Yeah. Tim, are you there? No, Tim. Who do we have next here?
Ron.
Ron, it's Ron. Okay, hey, Ron, how you doing? Are you out there in California?
Yeah, how's it going?
Doing great, thank you. How can we help you out today?
I'll make this real quick. So Nimrod, I heard on one of the teachings on CSN and from one of the net from yesterday. We can't recall who it was, but anyway, it was yesterday on CSN in the Boise area where I was out working. That Nimrod's, there was the mourning after Nimrod died for 40 days by his wife. Now, did she have a baby, or she thought she was going to have a baby? Or did she claim, number three, when she was pregnant, that it was miraculous? And really, what does the Bible say about that? I was a little confused when I was listening to that, and I can't recall reading about it. When I tried Googling it, all it goes into under is, he was so evil, he worshipped his mother, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And look, so what do you guys have to say about that? Did she have a baby or no? Or what does the Bible have to say about it? Did she think she had a baby?
Jeff, do you want to tackle this?
Well, there's a lot of urban legends surrounding Nimrod, a lot of things that are extra biblical. Now, some of the things that you're saying there, Ron, I've never read, and I've read the Bible a lot of times, not saying I couldn't have missed it, but I do know that Nimrod was Noah's great-grandson. Nimrod was, his name means mighty hunter, so he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. He was a godless man. He was certainly a rebellious man, and the Bible tells us the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. So there's a lot of talk about Nimrod being the father of mystery Babylon and the mystery religions of the world and the occultic religions of the world, that those root themselves in Nimrod. We need to go to the Word of God here, and where the Word doesn't tell us, then we can conjecture, but that's all that it is. The Bible says that I believe it's very possible he was behind the Tower of Babel. He was rebellious against God. He was a violent man. He was just like the antediluvians, the people that lived before the flood, who were so wicked that every thought in their mind, every imagination of their heart was only wicked. Not every once in a while, but they never had a righteous thought before the flood came. So Nimrod was like them. And so if he was behind the Tower of Babel, then what was the message? God had told the people that came after Noah, the descendants of Noah, I want you to spread out through the whole earth. I want you to populate the whole earth. But the message of the Tower of Babel was, no, let's centralize. Instead of decentralizing, let's centralize and keep things right here. And we're not going to obey God's edict to cover the whole earth to populate the earth. So that was Nimrod's rebellion against God. He was a rebellious man. Now, and he was a wicked man. Now, whether or not he's the father of mystery religions, mystery Babylon, occultic religions, again, there's a lot of extra biblical stuff out there. I don't know about this, your question about the children. I don't recall reading that in scripture. Daryl, maybe you do. I don't. So I'll turn it to you.
No, I don't remember exactly with in regards to that. But there's a great book out there to read if you want to get deep into this. It's called The Two Babylons by his name is Alexander Hislop. And he talks about Semiramis and Tammuz, a mother and child relationship, and Nimrod and all these things. The mystery, as you said, Jeff, the mystery Babylonian religions, religious systems, mystery Babylon, speaking of the religions of the world have come from this. And, you know, Satan, he knows exactly what God's going to do into the future. And he's always trying to imitate and lead astray. God said that the salvation would come through the seed of a woman, and that seed will crush the head of the serpent, and his heel will be bruised. And speaking about the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, later to be known in Scripture, as Isaiah 14 declares to us, as well as in the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew and Luke and so forth, that Mary was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And Satan has always tried to set up these false mother and child unions, if you will, for the world to follow, to just say, well, Jesus was just another one of those things. No, Jesus was the real deal spoken of in Genesis way back there in chapter 3. But Satan is a master deceiver. He's a strategist trying to lead people astray through world religions that are false. So hopefully that gives you a little bit of insight. But if you want to get in deep detail of this, Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop. So if you stay on the line, we're going to try taking a couple more calls. We're almost out of time. We're going to we'll send you, by the way, we're going to send you A Time to Grow, as well as Evolution versus God and the God of Wonders video. I'm going to get that straight here pretty quick. All right, let's go to, I believe it's, Tracy Hayden, Idaho. Is that correct?
Yeah, how you doing? Tracy. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure, good to have you on. How can we help you out?
Yeah. I want to point out about your conversation earlier about Seventh-day Adventists. Seventh-day Adventists don't actually worship on Saturday. They just rest on Saturday as per the commandment. And Jesus is not our weekly rest. He's our rest from the penalty of sin. And so they just go by the commandment, and it gives in, if you read the fourth commandment, it gives the reason to observe the last day of the week as a day of rest, because God created in 6 days and rested on the final day. And so if somebody thinks they can pick their own day of the week as their Sabbath, then they think they're smarter than God or smarter than Jesus. And so, well, I think that God put us into a 7-day biorhythm cycle. And if you're out of that 7-day biorhythm cycle, your mind is not functioning properly.
I'll hand it over to Jeff. You got some good comments there, but I think we might have a little bit of a disagreement here. Jeff, go right ahead.
Yeah, the Jesus is not just our rest from the penalty of sin. Let me just read Hebrews 4, verse 10. For he who has entered his, capital H, Jesus, rest, has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. The whole idea here is that when you come to Christ, he is your Sabbath. He is literally your Sabbath. He is your rest, because it's your rest from the works that the Mosaic law required. We're no longer looking to obey the commandments to achieve righteousness. When Jesus shed his blood on the cross, died, buried, rose again from the dead, according to verse 9 and 10, he entered his rest. He entered his rest. And we enter that rest with him, not just rest from penalty of sin, but rest from works, from achieving righteousness via our own works. So that's the rest the Bible is talking about. And the Sabbath of the Old Testament was a type and a shadow and a copy of what was to come. But the Sabbath was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And so the rest goes beyond us resting from penalty of sin, but it's also, thank God, I don't have to perfectly obey the law to be righteous. I can enter the rest of Jesus, where I'm declared righteous. I don't have to struggle and strive to be righteous anymore. It's imputed to me. It's bequeathed to me by him. And that's the rest that the Sabbath was pointing to in the Old Testament.
And you know what else? As we look to the scriptures, it says, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food or and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. In other words, Paul writes in Colossians 2, 16 and 17, we're not saved by any means in regards to Sabbath gatherings or worship. If you want to get together on Saturday, that's fine. If you want to get together on Sunday, that's fine. If you want to get together on Monday, that's fine. The early church celebrated through the book of Acts, they gathered together on Sunday, and they were celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the Seventh-day Adventism believes that the Saturday worship reveals that you have the seal of God on you, and if you worship on Sundays, you now have the mark of the beast. And that's false doctrine. So It's time to go, folks. We're running out of time. It's been a great program with you, Jeff. Thank you so very much. And to all the callers,
we'll catch you tomorrow.
And we love you all. God bless you all.
God bless. Aloha.